Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening, and we thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the start of a new year and the opportunity we have to serve you. You've allowed us to be alive for the beginning of this year. We pray for the families of our church, the children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all represented in the ministry life of this church, and for their mothers and fathers and grandparents, great-grandparents. We thank you for the blessing of all the families you've given to us. We pray that we might be a church who honors the Lord Jesus, follows Jesus, and that we seek to love one another and tell the world about Jesus, and that becomes our ambition, and that everything else we do submits to those things and those priorities. We thank you for those who are joining us online who cannot be with us. Many of them are just unable to be with us. We pray for them and their condition. We pray you'd encourage them tonight. And we recognize them with us in spirit, though they cannot be with us physically. We ask, Lord, tonight that as we begin, that you would bless the ministry life of this church, all of our ministries that are going on while we're here in this room, all of our student work and our children as they meet and learn about Jesus, and our choir and other Bible studies and prayer groups. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of the teachers and those you've given to us and who so capably teach your word and encourage our people. And so, Lord, it's good for us as we begin this year to look at our hearts and make sure that we're in right condition with you. And we pray that the Holy Spirit of God, we would be open to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to show us and to point us out thoughts and actions and words that are not pleasing and that keep us from being like Christ. So, Lord, it is good to be together. We thank you for life and life in Jesus Christ, and we honor the Lord Jesus, the great mystery of godliness. And we pray that you might help us tonight as we study your word to not be distracted for just a little while and hear what you want to teach us tonight about the importance of spiritual gifts that you've given to every believer and how important they are in the life of a church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good to see all of you around. I'm Pastor Mike. If anybody's a guest, and those of you who are watching us online, may the Lord bless you. We always are glad to see you. All right, make sure you picked up all the items on the way in. You need your handouts tonight. We've been working on some various things on Wednesday nights together. We looked at what we believe and knowing the truth, and we then spent a long time talking about spiritual habits, what it means, spiritual disciplines of living the Christian life. Now we come to a new focus, and our focus now is on spiritual giftedness. For some of you, you're familiar with it, and you perhaps have been somewhere, been taught by someone about these things. So you'll hear what I have to say to you about it, what our church, how we practice things related to this, and it'll be informative. This will go on for a while, so even if you're not able to be with us, if you want to stay up with it, you can always look on the website and you can find the recorded messages. So you need, first of all, there's a New Year personal spiritual evaluation examination. I'm not going to go through it, but here's what I'd say to you. We all have personal spiritual responsibility to examine ourselves and our spiritual condition. And Donald Whitney's little book here, 10 Questions to Diagnose Your Spiritual Health, is an outstanding little book. I've just given you the 10 questions, and I hope you'll take them as you start the year, and I hope you'll evaluate your own life and say, well, do I thirst for God? Well, do I grieve over my sin? Am I a quick forgiver? Do I yearn for heaven to be with Jesus? And on from there. So that's for you, and I think that will be helpful for us all to do that. So tonight, take your Bibles. We're going to go to two places. 1 Peter chapter 4. Find 1 Peter chapter 4, and then also find Romans chapter 16. 1 Peter chapter 4, and then Romans chapter 16. In our confession, we We declare as Baptists that the church is an autonomous local congregation of baptized believers, 1 Peter 4 and Romans 16. We're an autonomous local congregation of baptized believers. We're governed by the laws of Jesus Christ. And then we have this phrase, exercising the gifts, seeking to extend the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's the church. And what is the church? The church of the believers in Jesus Christ, all of us. And so my primary comments are to our church, because I really believe that this study that we're embarking on, it's just absolutely impossible to find one way to get all of our people who are a part of our church together at one time to talk about these things. So we'll put it on tape, we'll put it on video, whatever it's called, and we'll have it recorded so that we can encourage people to look at it. But all of you today, regardless of what you know or have done or studied about spiritual gifts, this isn't theory tonight. We're not in theory class. This isn't theory. This is reality. The way in which you respond to these truths about the gifting of the Spirit in your life have an impact on this church. That's how important this is. You know, you say, well, you know, we want to make sure Brother Mike's in the shape he's in. And I agree. I need to be in the shape I need to be in. And Pat's trying to, and the Holy Spirit are trying to straighten me out, and it's a constant challenge, and we're working on it. But for the rest of us in this room, it's the same. We have to find out and see. We talked about spiritual habits, and one of those is that we are engaged in our spiritual, using our spiritual gifts. Some of you know what they are, or you think you know what they are. And maybe you've studied it some other time. No matter how many years old you are, it's always good to go back and study spiritual gifts to see how the Lord is gifting you now in your life for your work. And you also need this ministry gift inventory. We'll talk to you about it in just a moment. So I'm going to give you some guardrails here tonight with these words. These are introductory things that we'll be talking about. As the title of this series of things we'll be doing, it's called Gifted for Ministry. All of you are gifted for ministry. But your ministry in the church, it looks different, every one of us. But we all have ministry gifts. There's some confusion about spiritual gifts, and well over now 30 years, all of my life, but I wrote this little booklet 30 years ago, which is hard to believe. By the way, for the young ones in here, there was no internet. There were no computers. We wrote things out on, it's a very hard thing to think about. We had notebooks. Do you know what a notebook is? They have, that you snap them open and you put pages, anyway. That's the way we built these things. It was a long time ago. I'm glad it's over, by the way. I'm glad that we're not in those days anymore. But I've been talking about the spiritual gifts, and here at this church, and we've been looking at it, but well over 30 years, this thing's been in print, and I'm pleased for how the Lord's used it. And I want to say some things to you about it that I think will be good for you in your life, and that we can continue to share with our people in the days ahead. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. But let's go to verse 7. The end of all things is near. I say it to you every week. I'm not saying it just to close the sermon so that the little kids know to, it's almost time to go to lunch down at the Mexican place. The judge is near the door. Regardless of current events and political environment in America or wherever, economic situations, the end of all things is near. Listen to what Peter's saying. Peter was saying this in the early days, the first century. Here we are, 2025. The end is near. Therefore, be of sober judgment, sound judgment, sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. First of all, the end is near. Pray. Keep praying. To all of us who are in the church. This is written to church people. The end of all things is near. What do I do? Pray. Pray. Draw near to God. Above all, number two, the end is near. Keep fervent, notice, in your love for one another. The end is near. We must, as a church, love one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Verse 9, the end is near. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. You mean I got to be nice to them? Yes. And they have to be nice to you. Have you noticed how God sometimes puts people in your life that just totally irritate you? And you have to serve them as a believer. Now, that not just your husband or your wife. I'm not talking about those people who irritate you. I'm talking about other people. The reality is that the end is near and we must show hospitality. That's more than a southern thing. Number 10, the end is near. This is the implication of this. This I'm reading from verse 7, but it applies to each of these. The end is near. Now here we come. As each one has received a charisma, is the Greek word, a special gift, it reads in the New American Standard, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And then he gives some examples. Not all the gifts, but here are some. I'm practicing one of the gifts now. Whoever speaks is to do as one who is speaking the utterance of God. So I must be serious about what I say to you every time I stand in front of you with the Word of God. I'm not here to be a comic or a news broadcaster. I speak to you through the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God is spoken. It's the utterance of God. We must hear it. It's important for us to hear it when we come together. So whoever speaks, speak as the utterance of God. Whoever serves, do it as one who's serving by the strength which God supplies. So that in all these things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Let's pause. To Him belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. To Him belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Praise the Lord Jesus. To Him belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. So we see here in these verses some very important things. A special gift to be used to serve one another in the church, and we're to be good stewards of it, verse 10. And God's grace is manifold. That is, He gives various kinds of gifts. And then in verse 11, we do it so that we might glorify God. Now go to Romans 16 for just a moment. I've mentioned Romans 16 before. Here's Romans 16, and Paul's talking about people that you're going to meet in heaven. He's talking about people you're going to meet in heaven. Strange names, some of them. Some of them Jewish believers, some of them Gentiles. He says about a woman named Phoebe in verse 1, who was a servant of the church, that you receive her, verse 2, this is Romans 16, 2, in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matters she may have need of you, for she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. She practiced spiritual gifts. She used her gifts to bless the church. He says, greet Prisca and Aquila. Notice my fellow workers. This is an interesting Greek word. Remember now, our New Testaments are written in the Greek language. We read a translation in English. So this word is synergios, and it is a word that means fellow worker, means to work alongside. Ergos is a Greek word that means to work. Synergos. We work together. That's what we all do in the church. We work together. And so he calls them fellow workers. He also says in verse 6, greet Mary, who has worked hard for you in the church, practicing her gifts. He talks about in verse 12, Tryphena, Tryphosa, these Gentiles, these Greek names, Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord, verse 12. And greet Persis, another Greek, the beloved, who, notice, worked hard in the Lord. This is what we do as God's people. We work hard. But you cannot work hard for the Lord if you don't know how to use your gifts to work hard for the Lord. It is the obligation of all of us in this room who are believers to work for the Lord. Now, back to your outline. In the Old Testament, only select people were empowered by the Holy Spirit for spiritual service. So in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon the prophets. In fact, while you're in 1 Peter, just go over to 1 Peter. I read it to you on Sunday as we were talking about the great mystery of godliness. And we were talking about a couple of weeks ago the Holy Spirit, that the Lord Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice in verse 10, 1 Peter 1:10, this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries. 1 Peter 1, verse 11. These prophets were seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ, that's the Holy Spirit, within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, these prophets, and they searched carefully what the Holy Spirit was revealing to them. Notice verse 12, it was revealed to them by who? By the Spirit of Christ, by the Holy Spirit. That they were not serving themselves but the church in these things which now have been announced to you through the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Preaching is associated with the Holy Spirit. As I speak to you from the Word of God, the Holy Spirit does the work. This happens every time the Word of God is taught. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God. It's not built on the genius or smarts or cuteness or smartness of the preacher. It's by the Holy Spirit, notice, sent from heaven, and the angels, as I've mentioned to you this recently, study what's happening in the church. They're amazed by salvation, and that's a wonderful thing. So in the New Testament, that's the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon men and women and they spoke and they were filled with the Holy Spirit in order to point people to Jesus. But now in the New Testament, every believer is gifted to serve in the body of Christ, the church. So we're talking about something critically important. How does the church work? Answer, we work by being filled with the Holy Spirit and using, practicing our spiritual gifts. So there are, I'm going to give you the Greek words because I want you to at least have them. These Greek words are used, they're phrases, they're words that describe a phrase that has to do with spiritual gifts. Charisma. We get charismatic from that. Charisma is actually a word that means grace gifts. Charis is grace. Charisma is grace gifts. So you have in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4, and we just read it in 1 Peter 4, did you see it? As each one of us has received a charisma, is the Greek word. So there are grace gifts. The spiritual gifts that we have are grace gifts given by the grace of God. Pneumatikos is the next word. Pneuma is a word for spirit in Greek. Pneumatikos, spiritual gifts. And you have that describing spiritual gifts for a spiritual purpose. These are gifts for spiritual purposes. They're not spiritual so that you can show off. They're not spiritual so that you can demonstrate your whatever it may be. It's for spiritual purposes. And then marismos is distribution. Marismos, the distributing of the gifts. So if you want to talk about, lots of people like to talk about the sovereignty of God. Tonight we're going to talk about the sovereignty of God. We're going to talk about the sovereignty of God in such an amazing way that I hope that this will lead you to worship. Because when we finish, I hope you'll know this, you, if you're a believer, have been given spiritual gifts by the sovereignty of God, and not any one of us are the same in our gifting. The sovereignty of God in the gifting of God's people is a glorious, wonderful thing. How does the church get better? When we know our spiritual gifts and when we use them. So here we go. I couldn't come up with any better drawing. There it is. The church. We're all a part of it. We're a local church, First Baptist, but we also are a part of the global church of the Lord Jesus Christ around the world. A marvelous thing to be a part of the global body of Christ, unseen and visible, multi-languages, all singing praise to the Lord and following Jesus. Unbelievable. Taking the Word of God and teaching it, speaking it, sharing the gospel, discipling people. The body of Christ, which, by the way, is the second great mystery that is revealed to us. The first mystery is Jesus Christ Himself. The second is the church. Gentiles and Jews coming together in one body, all racial distinctions removed, and we are all one body in Christ. Glorious thing. Now, an overview of spiritual gifts in the New Testament. You should have in your packet a chart that looks like this. Does everybody have this chart? I hope you have this chart. You'll need it. It's a good reference point for you. There's lots of confusion about which spiritual gifts are the gifts that we live by or we use. How are we gifted? Well, we're going to talk about that for a minute. Let me give you some general overview here for just a moment. Number one, salvation is a charisma gift. You were saved. It's an undeserved gift by the grace of God. Look, here's the fact. For by grace are you saved. Not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Your salvation, your being born again, is a charisma. It's a gift from God. You have received the gift of salvation. We call it that. It's the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is a charisma gift. The Lord Jesus said that when He goes away, He went away, He would send the Holy Spirit. He and the Father send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now comes and is in the life of every believer. The Holy Spirit is an undeserved gift by God's grace given to every believer. We run short in Baptist life of thinking enough about the Holy Spirit. And we need to do some work on that in the days ahead, and I hope, Lord willing, to be able to do that. Oh, the precious Holy Spirit and the significance of the Holy Spirit. You can't even be saved without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who gifts us. The Holy Spirit is the one who encourages us. The Holy Spirit is the one who dwells in us and possesses us. At salvation, believers, number three, are baptized with the Holy Spirit and gifted for ministry. When you said yes to the Lord Jesus, wherever you were, the Holy Spirit of God came to dwell inside of you. You became a possessed person, possessed by the Holy Spirit. And all of those other things that were a part of possessing you are gone. You're a new person in Christ. You're possessed. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. God determines, and this is sovereignty here. We like to talk about sovereignty of God. That's like a hobby for some people. When you talk about sovereignty of God, it ought to make you fall down on your face. That's what it ought to do. But when you don't understand sovereignty and it's like a theory, you just get it in your mind. It's like a mind game. I'm not here to talk to you about mind games. When you come to understand that you have been significantly gifted in your own personal way, according to your own personality, all of it laying together to make you what you are, and to God give you those gifts, those supernatural gifts, that brings you to worship, because that shows you how intimate your relationship with God is. He has done this in every believer globally for all the generations there have been believers. God determines the gifts of the Spirit. So we're going to send you home with homework, and of course, don't come back next week if you come back and say the dog ate it. If the dog ate it, we'll give you another paper and you just do it again. You didn't get the joke, did you? But the point is, you have homework. And the homework is for you to go home and to take the spiritual gifts inventory, come back so that we can begin to talk about it. I can't take you any further until you look and know what your gifts are. And just because you did it before in 1952, you need to do it again. And check out how God has gifted you. All right? Spiritual gifts do not make believers spiritually mature, and they're not talents. The spiritual gifts are not just your, you know, creativity and all the things you were given by birth. Some of you, you know, families have very unique giftings. You have a lot of talents, natural abilities that have come from your family of origin. It's in your DNA. It's the way you're born. You do things in amazing. It's all through our church. You can see it. When you know families and you see their history, you see the same DNA passed. You see the same kind of thing. This isn't your natural abilities. This is your gifting. And God, by His sovereignty, takes your giftings, I believe, your natural abilities, and there's Todd sitting back there. He turbocharges you when He gives you the Holy Spirit. How's that, Todd? But just because you have spiritual gifts doesn't mean you're a super saint. All right? Everybody has spiritual gifts. The sad thing is, if you grieve the Holy Spirit and you have sin in your life, you don't lose your spiritual gifts. But it's a disgrace to God to use spiritual gifts when you have sin in your life. So this is a very important thing. If somebody gives you a special gift, you take care of it. If somebody gives you a special gift, you use it. You don't box it up and put it in the closet. You've been given some very special, sacred gifts. So every believer has spiritual gifts without exception. So don't come up after and say, "Oh, Brother Mike, you know." No, don't. If you're saved, you've been gifted. And as I said, I've been at this more than 30 years with this inventory, talking with people about spiritual gifts in their life, and it's amazing what happens when someone takes this seriously. Changes the way they do ministry. You finally find your place in the church. You find out what you can do. And there's joy in it. And there's energy in it. That's why this is important. The good of the church is based on number 8, individual gifts of believers. And spiritual gifts are to be used in love. We use them toward one another because what is critical, what did Peter say? He said that we do these things to glorify God, but he also talked about loving one another in 1 Peter 4. He said, keep your love for one another fervent. That means at a boil. That fervent word in Greek is a word that means to bring it to a boil. Be boiling hot in love with one another in the church. We love one another, and as we love one another, we serve one another. And believers are to use their spiritual gifts as an obligation. See, God gave it to you. Use it. The Lord told that story about, remember, the the rich fellow said to his three servants, "All right, I got some money for you. I want you to reinvest it. Go double the money. When I come back, I'm going to ask you to give account." Okay? First two doubled their money. Last one dug a hole, did nothing. What are you doing with the gifts God's given you? You have accountability, and I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, as believers, when we're giving account for the way we lived our Christian life, you'll give account for how you use your spiritual gifts. That'll be your personal discussion with the Lord Jesus. It'll be my personal discussion with the Lord Jesus. The primary purpose of ministry gifts is to build up the church. How do we build the church up? Well, boy, just get more money in here. Okay. Thank you for that. How do we build up the church? Well, get the right kind of music in here. Okay, thank you for that. How do we build up the church? We minister to one another and use the spiritual gifts God's given us. By the way, it doesn't shock God in His sovereignty about the spiritual gift mix that's in this church. But you know what the business of this pastor is? And the business of the pastors of this church? To know what the spiritual mix, gifts mix is in this church. So that's why on your table there, you know, if you're an old person like me, don't be scared. This isn't an eye test. This isn't an eye test. This is not, I hope you all know that what this is. So you'll have two ways that you can take the test. I'll say inventory, that's less scary. You can QR code it and it'll come up and it's great. Look, it's all because of Christy Heflin. She put this all together for us. If you see Christy, and I mean it sincerely, she used her gifts to do it. Go out and take this inventory between now and next Wednesday so you'll have the results. You'll need them when you come. Or take it in the book, the old-fashioned way, the non-computer way, the computer illiterate way like I grew up with. And your test this way will automatically tabulate itself. If you do it the old way, you got to tabulate it. And then you got to find what they are, okay? So, everybody here needs to do that so that we understand our gifting and what we're going to be doing as a church. Now, there's a difference in the kinds of gifts. Now look at your chart. There are temporary spiritual gifts that were apostolic. There were apostolic gifts given to the apostles only that no longer exist in the church today. They're not here. So you have on your chart, I'll read you these statements down at the bottom. I'm watching my clock here. Number one, if you look at the chart here, if you'll pull the chart out, look at it beside your comments. Number one, there are two lists of gifts that focus on what are called temporary apostolic gifts. When the Lord Jesus did His ministry, He did it with power. He healed. He raised the dead. His what did he say one time to the Jews? If you don't believe what I say, believe what I do. The dead are raised. People are healed. You know, demons are gone. So there was power, Holy Spirit power on the Lord Jesus as he was full of the Holy Spirit. And the apostles, following that pattern as they're establishing the church, what gave the apostles authority and gave them made them stand out as the religious leaders of following Jesus? Their abilities, their temporary, supernatural, spiritual gifts. Your spiritual gifts are given supernaturally, but they're not the same as the apostolic gifts. They finished up, even as you read your New Testament. You find that as Paul moves along, there's not a discussion of the supernatural gifts that were there in the earliest days. Peter didn't mention it at all in 1 Peter 4, which is written far later in his ministry life. So you have two lists of temporary gifts. Notice them on your page. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, that's a list of temporary apostolic gifts. Gifts of healings and miracles and utterances of knowledge and etc. You have them all there. Various kinds of tongues and interpretations. Then you have also the list in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, which you have prophecy, tongues, and knowledge. And then you have two lists that focus on the permanent gifts, Romans 12, 6 through 8, and 1 Peter 4 that we just read. They're not all there. This isn't an exhaustive list. This is an example of them. That's why some of these gifts blend together. They come together in your life in a very unique way. This is critical. You know, a lot of people spend a lot of time studying health issues. They Google it. I'm going to tell you something. This is important for you to know about your spiritual life. This will help you not be a sad Christian. This will help you be a joyful, Spirit-filled Christian, because you'll find how to do what God's given you to do, and you'll have a whole lot of fun doing it. In your saddest days and your happiest days, listen to my testimony. I promise you, it's the truth. There are three lists that are mixed: apostolic, temporary, and permanent gifts, because the church was in transition when they're planting the churches. I said to the earlier group, so I'm a stage 3 cancer, a colon cancer survivor. I call it overcomer. So I had the colon surgery 3 years ago, but they found cancer. So I've been told, I've been told all the numbers. I have an oncologist. I go to the cancer doctor all the time. I'm begging him to cut me loose because guess what? I have no cancer. I didn't go to somebody to lay their hands on me. God healed me. God still heals. Are you listening to me? But the gift of healings as it used to be is no longer the same. Whatever it may be among some who declare it, it's not apostolic. So I give glory to God for healing, but God still heals. We call upon Him to heal us and He does it or He doesn't, according to His divine will. Apostolic temporary spiritual gifts, number 4, were given to confirm God's messengers as they preached the gospel. Peter's walking along one day and he was healing, people were being healed. It was such a miraculous day. Why, they were bringing him out and just laying him in his shadow. You remember that in the book of Acts? That doesn't happen anymore. There ain't nobody going to lay everybody out in front of my shadow. What's the point of that? It's a different day. There was a transition. And when the Holy Spirit was now given to the Gentiles and the Jews, book of Acts, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is now present in the life of every person who believes in the Lord Jesus. Apostolic temporary gifts were given to authenticate God's messengers and the gospel. I want to read a Bible that's written by those who were the authentic apostles of Jesus Christ. And guess what? Every one of those who's written for us as apostles were the ones who had these supernatural spiritual gifts. And there was great things that happened through their ministry life. Now, the 8 apostolic temporary gifts, apostle, distinguishing spirits, healing, miracles, tongues, interpretation tongues, utterance of knowledge, utterance of wisdom, prophecy. But then you have the 12 that we will look at in detail: administration, evangelism, exhortation, giving, helps, hospitality, leadership, mercy, prophecy, service, shepherding, teaching. So we have a lot of work to do in the days ahead, and we have a lot of work to do to understand what I call body life. Body life. Our church has body life. A spiritual nerve center that's driven by the Holy Spirit, and we are the parts of the body. Toes, fingers, arms, eyes, nose. You know, there's all kinds of illustrations Paul gives about the body of Christ, and we'll talk about the body of Christ and talk about our gifting and how useful and valuable it is. So we don't need anybody walking away, backing up, saying, "Oh shucks, you know what?" No, you need to lean into the table, take the inventory, and begin to realize who you are. Here's what I've seen over all these 30 plus years of doing this. It's amazing. People take the test, and when you identify the top three or four and you talk to your family, you talk to your friends, they say, "Yeah, that's you. That's you." So take the test honestly. Take the inventory honestly. Don't, like if you read one of them that says, if, for instance, you know that you're not high on the gift of mercy, but you think somehow that's a bad thing. If you don't, you know, you're going to have some questions about mercy in here, and you're going to think, "Oh boy, if I say what I really feel, then that means I'm not a really good Christian because I don't have mercy." Don't do that. Answer the questions honestly. Okay? It doesn't mean you're a bad Christian if you don't score absolutely 100% on mercy. Okay? I'll just confess, the old preacher here scores really low on mercy. No kidding. You've known me long enough to know it. So there are some essential questions that we have to look at as we finish tonight. This is our introduction. Lots to talk about. Lots and lots to talk about. This is a long journey. Number one, do believers receive only one gift? This question's been asked to me. I was a lot younger 30 years ago, but I've been answering it all these years. Most likely, we have a unique blend of gifts. Generally, you have one primary, but you have some that come around it that make your mix your own unique mix. That's the sovereignty of God I'm talking about. Let's get to something about sovereignty that really is, we can understand. You are uniquely equipped by God to do the work He's called you to do. That's what I'm trying to say. That's unbelievable. Every church, every believer, whether there's a mega church or 20 people, filled with the Spirit, gifted to do the work of God, and it gets done. Generally, most of us have a blend. So we'll look at your gifts, not just with your primary, because some of you are going to worry. You're going to get in there and say, "Well, these tie. My number's tied." That's okay. Don't worry. All's good. There's no bad answers. We'll talk about how that looks next week when we look at this. What do believers need to know about their spiritual giftedness? Well, as I've said, it's salvation's a gift. A spiritual gift. God the Holy Spirit is the gift of salvation. Every believer has received spiritual gifts. God determines the gifts given to each believer, and spiritual gifts are diverse in order to accomplish God's glory for this church. So recently our pastors did the gift mix. So it's interesting to see how the six pastors we have and what kind of spiritual gift mix we have. We're going to do our deacons. Our deacons are going to go through this process. So we have, you begin to see some things that happen. And by the way, all of these tests that we take, we're putting them, Brother Jeff Heflin will be putting them in our database for the church so that we actually can look at each other and understand a little bit better how we're equipped to do ministry and put people in the right slots. If you put people who don't have much mercy in doing mercy things, they don't do a good job. I mean, they try, but they don't want to really do it. But if you put them in their sweet spot, you can't stop them. That's what's wonderful. You see, I'm going to preach even if I don't have a place to preach. Just ask Pat. She's been listening to it all of her life. It's a gift. I'm going to find somewhere to preach. You use your gifts. And they're to accomplish God's glory for the church, and they're to build the strength of the church. How do we identify our gifts? Well, we focus on the blends. As I've said under number three, we recognize that the use of our gifts is for the church. You have your gifts for somebody else. You're gifted for everybody else in this church. And we need you to use your gifts. Spiritual gifts are given to build and encourage the ministry life of the church. And then four, what should believers do with their gifts? Use them, build the church, and glorify God. So what do we do? Well, let's avoid talking about how great we are when we discover our gifts and going around bragging about it. We're not going to give out, you know, little ribbons that say, okay, all the ones that have administration get to have a blue ribbon, and that's ridiculous. We're not wearing badges around here. People will see your spiritual gift if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. They'll see it. So I was laughing, the group at, we had a good group at noon today. So I was laughing about administration. So I just experienced somebody that had the gift of administration at the food thing. I know it's time to go, but this is worth the illustration. We'll go. So if every time we have the food thing, and I'm not bitter about this, every time we have the food giveaway, they don't have a place for me to do a job. It's like, well, who wants Pastor Mike on their team? I mean, I'm always the guy left out of the team. So I have to go find my own place on the team. So I went over and got in the place to give out the food on the buggy, and the only place left was the yogurt and the milk. So there I'm doing it the best I can. It's all in those things. And I'm taking them out and I'm trying to put them in the buggy. And finally, a woman ran up and said to me, Pastor Mike, get out of the way. Let me show you how to do this. There's a better way to do this. Man, she just started doing crazy stuff, putting this stuff, pouring all the things in a box. And she said, now that's the way you do it. Now keep going. And I thought, now there's an administrator right there. So when you see an administrator, let them do it. Why do you want to do it for them? Let them do it. If you see someone who has the gift of evangelism, go along with them. You'll learn how to share your faith. I mean, go with them. Yes, we're all supposed to evangelize, but there's some people in our church who are, they share the gospel with every human being that comes in front of their face. We need that. Whatever it may be, you can go through the list. Helps, hospitality, leadership. So we're on a self-discovery, and so here's our hymn for the night. We should pray it. We should sing it. It's one of our great old hymns. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Anytime, listen to me now as we go. Anytime you pray and say, Lord, I'm ready to do the ministry you want me to do, you know, I promise you this, God will spiritually gift you to do the work. He'll gift you to do the work to the glory of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how much you care about us, how much you place upon every believer to strengthen the church and make the church the body of Christ, that we might follow Jesus, love others, and tell the world about Jesus. Help us, help these dear people, my friends, who now take the time to look at their gift mix, talk about it, pray about it, and in the days ahead, may we come to understand how you have made us and gifted us supernaturally by the Holy Spirit to the praise of the glory of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.